Hi, it's Mike Pesca sitting in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. Not just a Friday here on the Brian Lehrer Show. It is a follow-up Friday, the world-famous follow-up Friday. Today, we're following a lead from a Brian Lehrer Show listener who heard a segment on the program on Tuesday that prompted her to write to the show, suggest the segment we're doing now. Paul Lucas discussed his recent series on a batch of report cards from a Manhattan trade school for girls. And then yesterday, Beth Fertig was on to talk about school buildings. Add them all together, and maybe they bring you to the person of Charles B.J. Snyder, the New York City superintendent of school buildings from 1892 to 1923. In addition to designing the Manhattan Trade School for Girls in Manhattan, Snyder was responsible for the design and construction of over 400 schools in New York City, the greatest expansion of public school buildings in American history at a time when New York City's population was swelling and tenement life was at its height. Snyder built the large, airy, and fire-safe schools New Yorkers have relied on for 100-plus years. Joining me now to talk about this man you probably have never heard of, but are taking for granted anyway, is Jean Arrington. She arrived in New York City in 2005. She's been researching Charles B.J. Snyder's work since then. She gives tours of architecture in the five boroughs. Thanks for coming in, Jean.
Thank you.
How did you learn of and get interested in Charles B.J. Snyder?
Well, I relocated to New York in the summer of 2005, thinking that I was going to work in the public school system. So I was going around to schools looking for principals in to get a job and was amazed by the architecture. I went to the library to read about them, found nothing, read some Christopher Gray articles, and learned about Charles B.J. Snyder. And that the SCA, School Construction Authority, had agreed to work with Albany to make a comprehensive list of all his schools in 1998, but that still hadn't happened.
So you walked in, your eyes were open, you were blown away, and you realized everyone is taking these buildings for granted.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So what are the highlights? What are the, if you had two or three that you could point to and say that's a Charles B.J. Snyder?
Oh, my goodness. So many. Morris High School, the high schools he did. New York had no high schools before he came, and he left 25, and all 25 are still functioning as schools, though they were all built before 1920, except for one. One was where Lincoln Center is now. So the high schools are really dramatic, and yet the high schools grew out of the elementary schools that he had designed during the first decade of his career. So he brought collegiate Gothic, that style, to elementary schools. Nobody had put little elementary school kids in college-type architecture. And then he also developed what he said at the end of his career was his most important contribution, which was the H-shape. H-plan building.
The H-plan building. So our number again is 212-433-WNYC. If you went to school in a Snyder public school or think you may have, my guest Jean Arrington probably knows, PS 110 just south of the Williamsburg Bridge on the Lower East Side. It has a bunch of owls on it. Curtis High School in Staten Island, that was one of his schools. DeWitt Clinton High School, now Heron Hall on the campus of John Jay College, all Snyder schools. Do you think he was taken for granted because people found it hard to separate what the structure looked like and what went on inside?
I think that's always a problem with schools, that when you ask people about their elementary schools, what they remember really is the teachers and the friends. So it's very hard to define what the effect of the architecture is.
Before him, where were the students going to school? What were the structures like?
The structures were Victorian, utilitarian, dark red brick, four-story, and he came in, and it was right after the Chicago Columbian Exposition of 1893, and so this whole idea of City Beautiful, and he brought structures with styles like chateaus from the Loire Valley, and Flemish town halls, and Italian palazzos, just very grand Renaissance Revival buildings.
And in terms of affording this, I mean, was this part of Tammany Hall corruption, or were they cheaper than we might think when we look at how ornate and impressive they are today?
Right. Yeah. He was a very savvy guy, and he was building huge schools because we needed so many. So he had on his side the economy of size. And he would, when people would object to the ornamentation, he would publish in the newspaper how our schools were costing half the price of schools in Boston and Philadelphia.
And people would complain. In 1901, the city council president complained about unnecessary ornamentation, and the real estate record guide said it was worth every cent. In the long run, the modest and appropriate adornment of schoolhouses would do much more to raise the level of public taste than any amount of money spent on sumptuous and conspicuous municipal edifices.
And I just want to add, or Jacob Riis said that the social reformer, as for the $5,000 or $10,000 put into the looks of things, where the slum has trodden every ideal and every atom of beauty into the dirt, I expect to live to see that prove the best investment the city ever made.
So if people call in and shoot a school at you, are you so well versed in his buildings that you might know off the top of your head if it was a Snyder?
I'm beginning to get that way.
Let's test you. Kevin from Brooklyn. Hi, Kevin.
Hello. I was wondering if my old junior high school, I attended there in 1964, Junior High School 52 in Manhattan on Academy Street, and also a school that has been restored in Brooklyn on Herkimer Street. It used to be PF 28 on Herkimer Street, and it has been restored to its magnificent originality and it's just a wonderful architecture when you base it from Atlantic Street. So I was wondering if that's one of the schools that was designed by Snyder.
Thank you, Kevin. All right, we're going to play Stump the Architecture Enthusiast. Do you know?
I lucked out here. They are both Snyder schools.
Awesome.
Junior High School 52 was PS 50 or 52 or 54 in Northern Manhattan. The first custom-built junior high school wasn't until 1929, but they did start redoing some elementary Snyder schools as junior high schools about 1919. That one on Herkimer is just gorgeous.
Paul from Prospect Heights writes in that he attended PS 26 in the West Bronx, Burnside, and Andrew Avenues in the 50s and 60s. He thinks it was a Snyder Elementary School.
Absolutely.
It was, but and then he says, you know, it got burnt in the 70s, and he was heartbroken when it did.
But you know, it's got Snyder did a 1923 addition to it, and he did the 23 addition in the original 1896 sort of style. So there's still a grand Snyder school there, even though the main school burned.
It got torched when the Bronx was burning, but he fireproofed his schools. I mean, they stood the test of time.
He did.
And he did it without having to, right? This wasn't part of the code that he had to build up to code or anything like that.
Yeah, it was coming in. But I do have a quote from him that New York was the first city to do this, and that Boston was trying hard to follow suit, but shrinking from the task.
And was he, could you put him within that City Beautiful movement, you know, the promotion of public spaces and civic virtues? Was he firmly a part of that?
Firmly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's go to Fort Hamilton High School. Was that one of his schools? Listener,
later.
Later.
Okay. 1930s.
But I think
fabulous school.
Hakeem from Harlem is calling in. Hello, Hakeem.
Good day. How are you?
How are you? I think you went to a Snyder school, right?
I went to Dewitt Clinton, the most fabulous Snyder school there is.
There you go.
Wait a minute. But did you go in Manhattan or the Bronx?
The Bronx.
Well, that one is not Snyder. That one is after Snyder. The Manhattan, Dewitt Clinton, is on 58th and 59th and on 10th Avenue. It's now John Jay School of Criminal Justice. And in 1930, when the Bronx Dewitt Clinton was built, the Manhattan one became Heron High School.
This is wonderful information. I appreciate even the fact that I didn't go to one of the most fabulous.
Well,
it's a fabulous building, too.
I'm just elated to find some of this information out, even though I didn't know there was a former Dewitt Clinton High School.
And I think that's what was so great about Snyder is that he really kept influencing the school buildings for the next two decades at least.
Yeah, that was my question. Even when it wasn't Snyder specifically, without Snyder, the schools wouldn't look like they would look.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, I know that there is a lot of criticism of some public works as not being functional at all. You know, people hate the new Penn Station. But for all the criticisms of the schools, is the functionality, especially of the Snyder School, that's not really in question. The schools worked well as schools, apart from being just beautiful buildings.
Yes, they were very, very functional. And the School Construction Authority has done a fabulous job. The high schools all had elevators. Almost none of the elementary schools did. And many of them still don't, but they've done a wonderful job in retrofitting these old schools and getting computers in them and getting them up to modern standards.
Derek in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Derek.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Regarding Alfred E. Smith High School, South Bronx, near Lincoln Hospital, I thought that might be such a school designed by your architect because it's in a letter H, like hotel design.
Right. It was one of the many, many schools that went up right after World War One, and Snyder retired at the end of 1922. So that one was just that. That's in the early 20s. So it was very influenced by him, but he was not the architect.
And I was curious to know if his design was the reason why they put lockers inside the classroom rather in the hallways. I always thought that was a dumb thing to do because students who are not in my class would come in to change their locker stuff, and I had to chase them out so I could start my class.
I know he did that in the elementary schools where the kids were there all day. And one thing that in the early 1900s is that he had the lockers were warmed so that the clothes could dry out and be warm when you got your coat in the afternoon.
Oh, my word. Warm lockers. Look at you with warm lockers. When I was a kid, we didn't have warm lockers. Oh, wait, we did. We're talking about decades ago. Well, Derek from Manhattan, thanks for the call. And very quickly, we only have a little time left. Is there any effort to remember, recognize, organize the information about Snyder?
Myself.
Yeah, you're talking
much
to him.
Yeah, and I teach English at Borough of Manhattan Community College.
Do you have a website you want to give out?
I don't have a website.
Well,
that's my
one.
Main thing. Yeah,
all right.
I got to get time to do the website and a book. That's
well,
my goal.
Jean Arrington has been researching these public schools. What a great resource. And we have to thank Cindy Laval, who wrote into us. And I believe
absolutely.
Cindy's a descendant of Snyder.
Yes.
A great granddaughter or granddaughter. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. Take care.